with me.
Good and gracious God, in words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the feast day of St. Mary, Mother of our Lord. The early church gave Jesus' mother the Greek title Theotokos. Now, Theotokos, loosely translated, means Mother of God. But a more accurate translation would be the birth giver of God. Her title honors Mary, but more importantly, it affirms what the church has always believed, that God, the Son, is in Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He is one with the Father. During Mary's visit with Elizabeth, she is declared blessed. And Mary sings in her Magnificat that all generations will call her blessed too. But what does it mean that Mary is blessed by God? In our modern culture, we see the word blessed mean many different things. We see hashtag blessed or feeling blessed show up all the time on social media like Facebook and Twitter. It's often used for being able to eat at that new restaurant it's hard to get into, or being able to go on some tropical getaway. Usually being blessed in these contexts means living the good life of privilege and comfort. Being blessed is living your best life when all is well. But Mary being blessed looks very different than our culture's concept of blessedness. She comes from a poor family, from a small, insignificant peasant village. And news in a small town would have spread much like church gossip on a Sunday morning. She's pregnant, but Joseph's not the father. Would all her friends and family in the community rejoice like Elizabeth did, or would some treat her with shame and disdain, not believing in her miraculous pregnancy? Scripture doesn't tell us all of people's reactions. The Scripture does tell us what Simeon told her. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary will bear the pain of a mother who has a son that is rejected by his people, shamed, beaten, and died a most horrific death on the cross. And yet she praises God for honoring her as the mother of God. Now it does seem kind of strange that Mary declares that all generations will call her blessed. But too often, many churches barely speak of Mary at all. If we only speak about Mary during Christmas and only treat her as part of a silent backdrop of the nativity story, then have we really called her blessed? And Mary most definitely is not silent. She has something to say, and we would do well to listen to her. Her Magnificat. It's her heart song, a heart song of thanks and praise to God. Her soul glorifies the Lord because she has surrendered to his grace and love, adding her, let it be, to God's, let it be, in the renewing of the world. Mary reminds us that we are able, through the Spirit, to let Christ increase in us and let our sinful selves decrease. Her life-changing experience with God and being chosen as the birth giver of God the Son is a total reversal of her life situation. She is no longer a lowly, insignificant peasant girl, but she has been lifted up from her humble state, and all generations will acknowledge her as being blessed. Mary's song of her reversal by God's saving grace then moves outward to encompass the salvation of all, especially the disenfranchised, the lowly, the oppressed. Mary's song has deep roots in the tradition of Israel, echoing the song in 1 Samuel of the barren Hannah, who has a son, Samuel, one of the great prophets of the Lord. Both Hannah's song and Mary's song speak of God bringing down the powerful who oppress the people, and about God's mighty arm of strength lift up the powerless. But Mary's song is absent of Hannah's military imagery, because Mary's son, Jesus Christ, will do battle against evil by showing God's mercy and God's love, setting people from sin and death by giving his life on the cross in total love for the world. Mary sees that her son is going to change everything. He will bring the mighty, powerful reign of God into the world. And in Christ, God will bring down the rulers from their thrones, but lift up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. If we don't hear Mary's Magnificat as a beautiful hymn that is radically countercultural, if we don't hear the gospel message as drastically countercultural, then perhaps we have aligned ourselves with the powerful to such an extent we have domesticated the gospel. Like the gospel message itself, Mary's beautiful hymn confronts and challenges the present political and economic powers of oppression and injustice. Her Magnificat is such a powerful song that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis, called the Magnificat the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. Her song through the ages has been cherished by the poor, the oppressed, and revolutionaries. But for those who have gained wealth and power on the backs of the poor, her song is seen as dangerous. Countries like India, Guatemala, and Argentina have banned it from liturgies in the church. They have banned it from being spoken in the public. The message of the gospel embodied in her song is just too powerful and just too revolutionary. Now, a country who is known to be the most powerful and wealthiest in the world, the Magnificat's message about the powerful made low might make us a little uncomfortable. Is there good news for the wealthy and powerful, or only judgment? If they gaze only upon themselves, only concerned with their own self-interest, then yes, it will probably just be judgment. But many times it's through God's judgment that one receives God's grace. God can bring them down to see things from another perspective. He can humble them, emptying them of their material riches so they can be filled with the power of God's grace and the riches of his love. When the rich and powerful turn to God in repentance, there is mercy and grace for them too. And the bringing down of the powerful and the rising up of the lowly, God through Christ is placing everyone on equal footing. So all have a chance to live in peace. So all have a chance to thrive. So that our resources can be shared by all. So all can receive the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Mary's song and Jesus' life and ministry reveal that God loves us and accepts us as we are. But he loves us too much to keep us where we are. And so, through his love, he changes us to truly be a human being, a person created in the image and likeness of God, a person that gives themselves to others in love. His love purifies us to be a new creation. A person who is obedient to God and loves God with all their mind, heart, and soul, and their neighbor as themselves. Now, when I look at the icon of the Theotokos of Vladimir, which is on your cover of your bulletin today, I see Mary, the mother of our Lord, in perfect Christ-centered wholeness. When I look at her, she invites us into a relationship with her Son so that we can be whole, redeemed, and saved for life in the presence of God. She invites us to surrender to Christ's love, saying, "Let it be." Later in the Gospel, Mary is praised for being Jesus' mother. Jesus responds by saying, "Rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Mary, who gave birth to the word of God, Jesus Christ, kept it. May we be like Mary, and let the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, dwell within us. May her life encourage us to live in union with Christ so that we can be whole. And may her heart song that reflects the message of the gospel be sung by all the faithful in the way we live, in the way we love, by the way we seek to raise up the lowly through charitable works, and by the way we work to bring down injustice and oppression in the world. Amen.